This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Final hour of our morning. It is Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. You can always catch that, of course, on the 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. And fun way to listen to our show, streaming it there or catching it on demand later, however you choose to listen. We appreciate you spending the morning with us. We started off today, and I put a piece up there at 710sports.com, which you can read, saying I think it's time for the Mariners to extend Jerry Dipoto. We've been taking your calls throughout the morning, and I'll open those lines back up here again as well, Brock, 206-421-3776. Just want to hear from you guys and whether or not you could do that. I think some people were convinced to maybe change their mind. I don't know that I've seen a lot of conversation about this yet, but it's been in the back of my mind because they entered this year, both Jerry and Scott, without a deal.
Yeah, and your gut is, just baseball-wise, something's got to happen in the next month or two.
I think so. I don't think you can wait till the end of the year on this, and I think it's not just because they started the year well, although let's be honest, that helps. It certainly doesn't hurt the case.
Yeah.
It has to do with what's to come. It has to do with the decisions that need to be made this year.
But again, you've made excellent points.
I hate to do it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I hate to actually convince anybody.
Well, normally I wouldn't agree with you.
Thank you. That's much more. That keeps me in line.
That was Mike Blowers and Spanaway. I mean, Mike and Spanaway.
I appreciate all of that.
Mike and Spanaway.
I would do it. And I do feel more strongly about Scott than I do about Jerry. I really think Scott's done a great job and deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the way this year has started. I think he's really grown into being
a good manager.
Yeah, I would
do that, Jerry, in a heartbeat.
But I don't think you can do that without doing Jerry Dipoto. And at the same time, I think you've got to extend some confidence in Jerry to go out and make the moves he's got to make here in the next few weeks. You've got to tell him you believe in him. I believe in you, Jerry, to go make the moves, to go acquire the guys you need to acquire, and if need be, to go dump the guys you need to go dump. Because you've got to have a mind on the present and the future, and I think it'd be important to commit to him now. So we'll keep the lines open on that, 206-421-3776, 206-421-3776. What would you do? Would you extend Jerry Dipoto now? Would you not extend him? Would you move on? How would you handle that if you were Kevin Mather and John Stanton? So 206-421-3776, lines open. Can we handle some quick family business before we get into some of those calls and kind of back into that conversation?
Family business?
Well, you couldn't help but notice this yesterday, Brock, and you brought it to my attention first. Yeah. What was going on Lydia's Twitter yesterday?
Yeah, it was wild.
Lydia had herself quite a day, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, we feel like a level of family kinship here on
the
show.
Yeah, I think so.
And so, Lydia, we were able to do what would you call this, Hattie? It's not really a dramatic retelling. It's more of a... It's almost like a 60 minutes recreation of what happened yesterday in Lydia's life.
Lydia Cruz was minding her own business, simply sipping coffee and watching National League Baseball on a laptop. And then things took a horrible turn for the worse.
So I'm sitting in a coffee shop listening to the Cardinals game, and this guy's like,
"Can I sit next to you? I can't drink my coffee and ride my motorcycle."
But, like, didn't really ask, just did it.
After seeing her open MLB app, he attempted to break the ice.
"You like baseball?"
Unlike a normal human interaction, he said this while patting her in a condescending fashion on top of her head.
All I can think is, dude, Tyler O'Neill is up to bat right now, and I do not have time to own you.
Feeling as though he had an in, he continued his advances.
"How about Cano?"
The generality with which he asked that question led Lydia to wonder if he actually knew what was going on with Cano.
I seriously consider responding with, "Yes, wow. Can you believe the team's converting him to a starting pitcher?"
Wow. So, Lydia, could you help us a little bit with some of the context here? So you're in a coffee shop?
Oh my gosh, sorry.
You're in a coffee shop yesterday, innocently drinking coffee and watching the game on the MLB.
Watching National League Baseball.
Right.
I like...
dorky.
It is. Dorky. Like, any way I tell the story, it's
Lydia just got kicked out of the sports pit because people at the sports pit here in the station, people who are into sports enough are like, "Lydia, too much. Go watch the National League game that only you care about somewhere else.
At home, please." Right. Yeah, I like to go for a walk. every day. You know, Brock likes his tub time. I like to have a walk every day, and I like to listen to baseball. And yesterday I got a coffee and I was listening to the Cardinals game, just, you know, sitting in a coffee shop, minding my own business.
Okay.
And there were so many empty seats, but this guy came up to me decided that he really wanted to sit next to me.
Is he motorcycle guy? The version of him there, he sort of sounded sort of haughty and pretentious.
Yeah.
I imagined, and Brock, I thought, nailed it earlier, more of Nick from Family Ties. Yes. Like, he kind of comes in, hey, gonna come sit next to you, huh?
But he does have a good point. He can't drink coffee and ride a motorcycle.
That's true. You're right.
But also,
was he creeping? I mean, he was creeping.
I felt like at that point, there's probably a slight. I don't want to like compliment myself. I feel like you should.
No, you should.
Did he actually pat you on the head?
No, I meant metaphorically patting me on the head.
That would be a bizarre way of hitting on somebody. Certainly,
patting him on the head.
Yeah, bless you, child.
Yes,
how cute you are.
Aw.
All right. So that's where we leave the story. There is part two, which will be coming up here in a few minutes. But Lydia was not pleased with this fella, it sounds
like. No.
Thought about making fun of him on the canoe tip.
Yep.
All right. We'll get
just
back.
Just don't interrupt someone in their baseball. That's all I'm saying.
Text message. But Lydia, what kind of motorcycle was it?
Oh, that's the important part of the story.
Yeah.
Are we talking like a hog, or are we talking a crotch rocket? Or what are we?
more of the chopper thing?
It wasn't Bob Stelton, but that was the whole time I was picturing, okay, he's got the jacket on, the boots. I was picturing Bob, but I knew it wasn't Bob.
Well, I hope Bob answers some of this motorcycle bias in the Bob Gross and Tom show today, because Bob now drives a motorcycle, rides a motorcycle most days. He's got the cool guy jacket that he brings in here, which, by the way, I asked Groz to put on the other day because I thought that would have been awesome, but he wouldn't do it.
Right.
So. No, you don't mess with that.
So was it a Bob style or was it more of a Harley style?
He was wearing a green motorcycle jacket, which I was like, wow, okay, bold choice.
Wait, high viz, like for safety?
No, not safety. Like, definitely bought at a high-end fashion store that can't even afford.
So maybe a BMW motorcycle.
And maybe Howdy's impression of him was a little more spot on than we would have imagined.
A little hoity-toity.
Would you say he was more like the Howdy motorcycle rider there, or is he more like the type of guy from Family Ties?
I would say maybe it's a blend of the two.
Oh, okay. That's a troubling blend.
Well, I can't wait for the second part of the story.
I can't wait for the guy to realize he's being talked about and call in total embarrassment that Lydia shut him down like this. In any event, we will come back to that at 9:30. We'll hear the rest of that story as Paul
Mike, I am tremendously torn on this.
Okay, how come?
Because initially you write the piece last night. I got a chance to kind of preview it as Lydia and Kyle and Howdy Do as well. You sent it to us. And initially I'm like, no, just wait. You don't have to make a decision right now. This is some of the beauty of a contract. You have the rest of the season, and I'm not going to be emotionally held hostage or captive by what's going on right now. And this team has been phenomenal.
Okay.
My gosh, they continue to overachieve. And last night's game, a perfect example of it. You had no business winning. Couldn't do anything. Got no traffic on the field. Ben Gamel slipping and sliding out there. You get out of a bases loaded jam. You only give up one run. It just, you know, that was a game that in years past you don't win, and yet they do, and yet they keep winning, and yet they're 9 games over .500 with a plus A run differential. These things just don't add up. Doesn't measure up. And I got more a wet blanket passing in the back of my head, like, just, you know, this is a nice run. Just give it time. Just give it time. This is going to come. So there's part of me that just wants to give this more time. And yet, as I listen to our callers, which were probably 9-1, it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting if we put a poll out, and you put a poll out there to see if it would back up as well. Like, sign Jerry and Scott now. Don't wait till the end of the year. Don't keep them hanging in the
wind. I think the problem is you got to give some of the corollary information. I don't know that everybody realizes these guys are lame ducks.
I don't know that definitively, because with Zarensic a few years back, we didn't know if he had a contract.
I can tell you definitively that neither guy has a contract right now. Beyond this year. That both guys are in year three of a 3-year deal. This is it. They are not signed beyond this year.
And status in baseball,
that's
what is
rare.
Okay, so in baseball, typically baseball code is you're going to get something done or you move on.
Yes.
right? Kind of like Earl Thomas is waiting here. And you know what? He watched Sherm. He watched Bennett. He watched others with a year to go. Cam, get a deal done.
Deals generally for managers and general managers don't go to the end of their contract before you renegotiate. Either they get laid off before then or they sign a deal before then. I'm sure there are examples. So I'm sure somebody could text in with some example. I can't think of one off the top of my head, though, where that's happened.
Okay.
Generally, you're going to get a deal done before it runs out.
My risk-averse, old man, conservative, separate business and emotions says just wait,
even though that would be essentially breaking new ground in baseball.
Yep, it would say just wait, just give this through May and June, and my goodness gracious, as beat up as this team is, how many weeks have we even seen the full complement together? Right, the full picture of this, and now we're gonna even have to wait till early August when Robbie comes back, and how do you sort through all of that, and what does that look like and feel like? And you know, that's what it says. There are two things actually tipping the scale pretty severely here, though. And it really isn't any call or any one move or bad move or good move. There's really two things. It is that Jerry has never wavered from his conviction. He wanted to build an athletic team. He wanted to turn this core over. He had to do so with four guys that eat up 55% of the salary, and he would have to be creative to do it. And you have to be pretty bold. And by being bold, you're kind of like Major League Baseball right now. There's a high strikeout rate.
Yeah, you're going to make some mistakes.
You're going to have a high strikeout rate, and there has been a high strikeout rate. He's also right now arguably had the second best trade in Mariners history, that Haniger and Segura right now is pacing towards that level, and he's never wavered from his conviction, and I love that. Mm-hmm. Number two, Mike, and I guess almost equally important, is that over 17 years of so much churn and burn, we have seen the alternative. We have seen managers constantly fired. We've seen a revolving door. Yes, Jack had time, but he had no relationship and he had no manager in place. That what would it actually look like if you had a level of stability? That you actually said to Jerry and Scott, you've got something that we've not had here in 17 years. And that's a GM and a manager totally on the same page, totally committed to the cause, and actually showing us enough with this young core that we want to reward you and give you an opportunity that we've not been able to give to others. Those two are the two reasons that I actually tip my scale a little bit, and why it makes it just a wonderful conversation. Yep. And if your gut is right and they end up doing this a month from now,
I would think sometime in the next few weeks, I would think before the All-Star break is the time to get this done. And it's sped up a little bit on them because of the Cano deal. And because now all of a sudden you got $12 million to spend and you got to empower Jerry Dipoto to go spend it the right way here in the middle of the season.
And if they go 8-12 or they go 12-20 over that stretch, and all of a sudden they become a 500
club. Anaheim goes 12-4 during that same stretch, or
yes,
something.
You're going to be okay with it.
I'd be okay with it, but I think you got to sell. I mean, I think you got to make some different decisions. But I think the question to ask is: do you trust Jerry Dipoto to go either way? Do you trust Jerry Dipoto to make the deals necessary to win? And do you trust Jerry Dipoto to make the deals necessary to rebuild?
John Stanton.
And my understanding is that the answer is yes. And if the answer is yes, then you got to sign him. You got to empower him to go make all the decisions necessary to help your team in the short or long term. And yeah, absolutely.
And if John Stanton's right, and this was John Stanton with us a year ago talking about Jerry Dipoto around the trade deadline and everything else, if John Stanton's right and he really believes this, then this deal should get done.
You know, Jerry's got an incredibly creative mind. I mean, I've spent most of my career in business, and I look at folks that can kind of turn their businesses around like a Rubik's Cube and think about things in every different way. That's the way Jerry's mind works.
Well, that's important. Creativity is the number one word I used in this column. 710sports.com if you want to read it. Because in the next few months, they're going to have to do some creative things. They don't have a big farm system. And no. By the way, if you are going for it to make a wild card, you can only go so all in with your prospects, because you don't know whether a one-game wild card is truly going to be worth giving up the farm for. But what you do have is money. And you're going to have to use some creativity to give up prospects that maybe another team says, all right, fine, you give me a prospect, somebody back that, you know, maybe the guy's going to pan out, maybe not, but I need to save face. But what you're really doing is taking money off of my books. And they've got money that they can inherit. They've got at least $12 million, and I'd be wager to bet that they'd spend more than that. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to get it done. I think Jerry's creativity has done enough to earn the extension. I think his support, and first of all, finding and then supporting of Scott Service, the way they get along, I think there's a bunch of reasons to get this done now. 206-421-3776. What about you? Would you be willing to re-sign and extend Scott Service and especially Jerry Dipoto right now? We can talk more about Service tomorrow and kind of keep that part of the conversation going. But Aaron is in Mill Creek. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. What do you do?
I'm in real estate, actually. I was in the medical field for a long time, and now I'm in real estate for the last couple
years. Aaron. That's totally on me, brother. You answered that 1,000%.
I know. I was having a little fun there.
No, that's my bad, bro.
I think if you're talking about, look, Jerry has made a high volume of trades. That's not disputed. He's traded a lot, and he's got a kind of a quick trigger. But if you take a look at his record, he nailed one trade. He absolutely nailed it. But when you take a look around, I mean, he traded Chris Taylor. Nobody thought Chris Taylor was going to be who he's going to be. But he did trade Tyler O'Neill as well. And as you guys have seen, if you've been, you know, looking at scores and box scores, he's killing it for St. Louis right now. I'm not bullish on DePoto.
Okay.
I'm not saying we shouldn't re-sign him, but I'm not. Yes, he's made a ton of trades, but how well has he really done? And then you take a look at our farm system,
yeah.
It's a mess, and he inherited a mess. But, I mean, he's got a job. His job is to improve the whole program, right? He's got to improve the major league roster. He's got to improve the farm system. And so far, I don't know, the results are just sort of meh.
Well, Aaron,
he's done,
And that's a word that I think Jeff Passan would use, meh. I could picture him, and yesterday the wet blanket when he joined us talked about this farm system, and here was Yahoo Sports Jeff Passan with us yesterday.
If they have the opportunity to go for it now, I almost think that there's a bit of a value play here in the Mariners just saying screw it, we're all in, because they're going to have some bad years coming up, man. They're going to have some bad years because they just don't have anything down in the farm.
And he's right. The farm system is not good. And if you decide that you're going to try to turn this thing over, I think that you've got to legitimately rebuild that farm system and make that the strength, not the weakness of your organization.
But that's not what he was asked to do.
No, he has not been. And in the meantime, he has rebuilt a young core. So one thing they do have that is not as, I don't know how to rank them. You sort of have a couple of different options of things you can have on your team. You can have an older core of veterans.
Yep.
You can have a younger core of up-and-coming players at the major league level.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have a farm system with a bunch of prospects coming. They don't have the bunch of prospects coming. They are not a loaded farm system that is going to keep spitting out prospect after prospect like Houston has. They have an older core, and unfortunately they're not all playing, or they're all hurt, or they've got some steroid suspensions or whatever. but at the time, I mean, you do have sort of an older, aging core. And then specifically what I think if you want to put things in Jerry's category that he's done, it's the young core.
So he's one of three.
It's the D. Gordons. Yeah. It's the Mitch Haniger and Gene Segura and that young group that he's kind of put together himself.
Mike Zunino and Eddie Diaz and James Pazos and
James Paxton.
Yes.
I mean, that's sort of the young core and the young nucleus that he has built. And while Jeff's right, the farm system shows some problems, those guys aren't going anywhere either. I mean, it's not like those guys are aging out of it like Seager, Cruz, and Cano are. And Felix. I mean, that's sort of the future of your organization.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is a little bit of a bummer last night when you watch the game, right? And you have a few injuries and you see Andrew Romine. Like, really? It's Andrew Romine. Where's our young, like, where's that guy in between the farm system
and
the young core?
That's weak sauce, man.
What?
Because I think people complain about it the other way, too. Oh, how come our team is competitive and all of a sudden they got to bring up some kid instead of a veteran who actually knows what he's doing? I've heard that same argument the other way.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
For me?
I don't know. I think you've heard it from me.
I would love to see. I think I've been pretty consistent. I would have loved to see, instead of Ichiro, I would have loved to see a young and up-and-coming outfielder. Instead of Andrew Romine, I would have loved to see a young and up-and-coming utility guy.
You hear complaints
instead of Taylor Motter and Daniel Vogelback, I would have seen
You hear that complaint the other way all the time.
Well, when you hear from me, you can call me a hypocrite,
okay? So they got to bring up some guy that's never done it in Major League Baseball before? How come they didn't spend the time ahead of time to bring in somebody who actually has a track record?
Yeah.
I mean, Romine's a legitimate baseball player. I mean, he's played in the league for a while. He's a utility guy. That's why you have a guy like that on your team.
Yes.
I don't know.
But when
I'm not
Gordon Beckham and when it's Ichiro and when it's Romine and it's a bunch of these, it speaks to the lack of the farm system plus talent.
Yeah, 206-421-3776. The farm system is an issue, but I'm not quite buying that is a good example of it. David is in Seattle. Good morning, David. What's going on?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Oh, so great, David.
All right. Well, I just think like this. We should go for the division instead of being talking about playoffs. I drank the DePoto Kool-Aid when he first came over, and I went to see him being interviewed by Rick Riz for Hot Stove.
Okay.
And then I heard Scott Servais coming. And Kevin Mather's the guy who appointed DePoto from the Angels organization.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, I believe in, they are winners. The team believes in them. They put in a consistent language through their entire system.
Yeah.
He said what he was going to do, and he did it, DePoto, with the pieces that he could. So the farm system comes later. But we've got winners here, and you stay with these guys 6, 7 years, 8 years, like you do with Carroll or the football coaches. You've got a winner here.
Okay. I love it, David. I love the passion there. They were 86 and 76 2 years ago. You know, we took a bunch of calls last hour, and they were like, oh, they've always been a 500 team. That's not true. They were within a game of a wild card spot at 86 and 76. What, two games, two years ago. Well, it came down to the
second last,
the
game.
Penultimate game of that season. And unfortunately, they could not get that done. But that's where they sat. And right now they sit 9 games over .500 and doing it with a bunch of different parts. I do love the messaging. I think that is absolutely clear. The Mike, there is no mixed messaging. This is the kind of caliber of player we want. This is how we're going to build this team, and they've been really consistent with that. If they hit home runs on every move, absolutely not. If there have been a bunch of strikeouts, yes. Is this what it was going to have to take when you had Houston ahead of you in that race? I love that caller's point, you know, last hour.
You've got to take some risks if you're in that spot. Yeah, I would agree on that. Hey, let me quickly give you some breaking news, and we can get some more of these calls going as well. But some breaking news. The new anthem policy has come out from the NFL. Roger Goodell said this was voted on unanimously by the owners. There are 6 elements to this new policy regarding the anthem. You ready?
Okay.
Number 1, all team and league personnel on the field shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem.
Okay.
Number 2, the game operations manual will be revised to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for the anthem. So if you're out there, you better stand, but if you don't have to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or in a similar location off the field until after the anthem has been performed. Number 4, a club will be fined by the league if its personnel are on the field and do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, each club may develop its own work rules consistent with the above principles regarding its personnel who do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. And then finally, 6, the commissioner will impose appropriate discipline, of course, on league personnel who do not stand.
Okay.
So there you go. So that's that. First of all, that is a significantly better policy than the one that leaked out earlier that involved a 15-yard penalty and some other stupidity.
I'd agree.
I don't know that I would have done all this. I still think it's probably a mistake to even mess with this if I'm the league. But I would think you could live with this, no?
Yeah, I very much live with this.
I would think both sides would sort of come to it and say,
That's all right.
I can choose to show my frustration with the country if I so desire by not walking out there for the anthem.
Yep.
And if I am, then I can show respect. I think that's okay. I like it.
I agree. We agree on that. And I'm coming to your side just a little bit on this DePoto thing.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. I'm not quite Mike and Spanaway.
I'm going to drag you over here.
No, I'm not quite Mike and Spanaway.
Mike was convinced.
Yeah, I'm not going to be easily convinced.
Mike's the first person in the history show I've convinced of anything.
Well, normally I wouldn't agree with you.
I appreciate that.
But again, you've made excellent points.
I know. Who would have ever thunk it? All right, 206-421-3776. More of your calls, and we'll finally get to find out what happened to Lydia after a motorcycle guy tried to hit on her in a coffee shop. It's all next on Brock and Saul.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Seattle is alive for the Mariners. The excitement in Seattle is insane. It's insane. I'm thinking 87 and 75.
Wow.
And we're getting it on a wild card, baby.
That never gets old. It's Brock and Salk. A couple of updates here on breaking news throughout the morning. First of all, D. Gordon placed on the DL yesterday. He's going to miss 10 days. We've got already 2 of those days gone. So about another 8 days for D. Gordon before he returns from the broken great toe. We also know that Mitch Haniger was hit in the wrist, had to be removed from the game last night. Don't know how long he will be out. And Gene Segura collision at the plate on really what was a cheap play by their catcher in Oakland. I hope he gets drilled today for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait and see whether or not he can go with a sore left shoulder, kind of waiting on Scott Service later on this afternoon. For updates on both those things, Jason Wirth was pulled out of the game in AAA last night, so he may be on his way up just in case you need him. Nelson Cruz was, as Shannon said, threatening to play the outfield, which is not a good idea, but hopefully you get him back in the lineup to at least DH tonight because I think you need that bat, especially if Haniger's going to miss a day or two. So that's kind of where the Mariners are at. The NFL has their new policy on the anthem. Without reading it all to you again, essentially what they are saying is that players can stay in the locker room if they want, But if they come out, then they've got to stand and show respect for the flag. Yep. The NFLPA, Brock, has released a statement on this. Unsurprisingly, they don't like it.
Oh.
They say the NFL chose to not consult the union in the development of the new policy, and they put a policy in quotes. NFL players have shown their patriotism through social activism, community service. It goes on and on and on. By vote, the NFL CEOs contradict the statements made to our player leadership by Goodell. Our union will review the new policy and challenge any aspect of it that is inconsistent with the CBA. So we'll see where it goes. Right. I just think you and I probably see this interestingly from different angles, that everyone's trying to come up with a solution that works for both sides.
Yep.
And I think there's a pretty good compromise.
Agreed. Here. Agreed. And we're coming at this DePoto and service conversation from a little different angle. I don't think I'm opposed. I think if your gut is right and in the next month or month and a half an extension gets done with both of those guys, I think I would celebrate it because, you know, they have trust. John Stanton, Kevin Mather have trust. This thing's going the right way.
Yeah.
And there are multiple reasons to get on that side of it. I think there are a few to still have some concerns.
I think there are too. And that's why this isn't easy. You know, eventually you've got to make a choice. And this is not a no-brainer. Believe me, I welcome calls that disagree with this. I don't think it's a no-brainer. Jerry's record is not perfect. I also am trying hard not to let perfect be the enemy of the good.
Ooh, that's good.
And that's one of those. I know Lydia always says,
yes.
Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is probably one of those cases for it. Jerry's record is not perfect. There have been some clunkers, man.
Yep.
The Adam Lind trade was a clunker, and it sounds like one of those guys he dealt may actually turn out to be pretty good. He just made the majors.
And the
Chris Taylor trade's a mess. The Trumbo deal. I mean, there's been a bunch of them that are not good trades. In fact, if you were to come up with a percentage, it's probably below 500, and it might be below the league average. I don't know. He's also been forced to be creative in order to dig out from some of the problems, to dig out from a lot of big contracts that are hampering him. And I think overall, he's done a good job of developing a good young nucleus with Segura and Haniger and Diaz, who he converted, and Zanino, who they helped fix. I mean, it's not just the players you acquire. Yep. It's the system you develop. It's the organizational philosophy. It's an ability to bring players through the minor leagues, which Jack's administration was awful at.
Yep.
You know, there's more to it. It's a pretty big job being a GM.
Yeah, we'll field a bunch of these calls, and you know, we'll figure out perfect and good with this biker guy, too. I mean, he obviously wasn't perfect. But was he good enough? You know, we'll figure that out. But I would say the key word there is development. If I were to look at anything and everything that these guys have done, that is the one thing that that stands out from their predecessors. They developed Eddie Diaz. They developed James Paxton to take the next
step.
They
redeveloped Mike Zanino.
Totally. Total almost transformation there. And those are huge feathers in their cap.
All right, 206-421-3776. John's in Kennewick. Morning, John.
How you doing?
Good. What would you do?
I think extending him is a good thing. Anytime you have somebody that you think is doing a good job, it always is nice to be ahead of the curve on what's going on rather than behind. Being an engineer in a technical field, you feel a lot better if people are telling you you're doing a good job rather than waiting until the job is completely done to say it.
Well, that's where you and I are a little different, John. I enjoy mean tweets.
Well,
okay.
I got another comment for you, Brock. Uh-oh. In that regard.
Yeah.
Is you made a comment, you're risk averse.
Yes.
One of the things, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I spent 2 years in Vietnam.
Mm.
And I came away with a lot of perspectives on things. And I finally found a series of Murphy's Laws of Combat that fit. One of the Murphy's Laws of Combat is anything you do can get you killed, including nothing.
Mm.
When you're faced with a decision, not making a decision is a decision.
Mm.
So there's a risk involved in either extending DePoto's contract now or not extending it. There's a risk involved in not extending it just as much, and you need to look at it from both sides.
Yeah.
Just saying you don't want to do the risk
is not a good answer. I agree with you, John. Thank you for that. I think there's some tremendous wisdom there. There's
and thank
no
you
question.
For your service as
yes.
well.
Yeah. No, and on the flip side, I hear my old real estate boss say to me multiple times, sometimes the best deal is the deal you don't do. And the number of times you're sitting there like, oh, man, we missed out on this. Oh, we missed out on that. Oh, if we only would have thought that. Oh, Mike Pritchard sitting in a sauna in 1999, my rookie year with Mike Pritchard, the longtime receiver, who says, if I only would have bought Microsoft stock, what an idiot when I got drafted in the first round. If I would have only put 1% of my signing bonus into that. Right. So sometimes those deals you don't do, sometimes those deals you do. there's just sometimes no perfect
answer. It reminds me of, in sports psych, we learned about omission bias and how things that we actively do will always seem more dangerous than refraining from doing them. Even how NBA refs are evaluated, they're evaluated in four different categories. And one of them, correct calls is the worst, is considered the most, incorrect calls is considered the most egregious. And then there's also incorrect non-calls,
right,
which are considered less egregious.
Calls that you didn't make.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it is interesting.
Can I ask you guys, let's say that, okay, fine, where's the risk? What's the risk extending them?
You extend them. You have all of this momentum moving forward. You allow him to continue to make decisions. And a year from now, we just pull the plug.
Okay.
Then you're just starting all over again.
Well, but, I mean, either way you would be doing that.
No. Say that again?
If you don't extend him, then what? You're going to just make the same decision here in a couple months.
No, but you're going to give yourself 4 or 5 months to get yourself ready to find the next guy that you really do believe in, that you trust, and you allow him to move that program forward.
You could do that
anyway. By the way, your players, your fans, and everybody else and the morale that they've got in supporting this guy, then once again, you're going to pull the rug out and do something that you've done seemingly all the time, which is fire managers, fire GMs.
But you're taking that as a possibility anyway, that you're going to do all that. I just think that you leave even more options open to you. Oddly, it's not like signing Felix Hernandez to a $200 million
deal.
Where
your sunk cost, you locked in.
There's almost no sunk cost. GMs don't make any money comparatively. You're a baseball team. You have a gazillion dollars. If at the end of it you decide that you screwed up, then call yourself on it and fire him then. Who cares?
Yeah, but it's also, he's not in a vacuum. As one of our callers said last hour, there is a huge amount of impact that he has organizationally over a lot of people in a lot of positions. And that, you know what, you fire him. Oh, so what, you fire him? Well, what about all these other scouts and all these other people that are attached to him?
But thing is, you'd be doing that anyway if you weren't happy with him at the end of the year. And the fact that you'd have to pay him out for a few more years, I'm not sure that would be enough to actually convince me there's risk here. Thanks for all the calls on this. I hope you guys can read about it. I put it up at 710sports.com. You can read it on the 710 Sports app as well. That is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. And hopefully I just kind of laid out in a little more detail how I feel about it. We'll keep this conversation, I think, over the next few days. In the meantime, we set the scene earlier. It's Lydia Cruz, our very own, who was at a coffee shop yesterday. Sure. We played you part one.
Yeah, and
she's
this is
listening
trending,
to a baseball game.
In Seattle, it's trending. I was looking at it. It's hashtag trending. Hashtag biker guy.
Hashtag trending.
It is totally true.
Hashtag trending.
People want to know how all of this.
Guy in a green motorcycle jacket told Lydia that he couldn't drink his coffee and ride his motorcycle at the same time.
Right.
So he needed to sit next to her and started up a little conversation about the Mariners. How did that conversation go?
Lydia was trapped. Trapped between her niceness and the pursuit of a creep.
He asked me if I go to many games. I'm just sitting here thinking, I could not be staring more intently at my MLB app right now. Can't you see I'm in a committed relationship with baseball?
As a wild dingo stalks his prey, so did this man stalk the kill shot on his pursuit of Lydia Cruz.
He asked me if I ever wanted to ride a motorcycle. And at this point, I just can't even anymore. So I say, yes. This is the first time I've ever wanted to ride one. Alone and far, far away from here. He left.
Lydia narrowly escapes.
I felt very rude at the moment, but respect the game, bro.
When will be the next time she will have to face this kind of treatment? A burden she's become all too familiar with.
So you sent him packing.
Oh my gosh.
Reeling, it sounds like.
Yes, I've always wanted to ride a motorcycle far away from here.
I said it like kind of like more understated under my breath, but yes, I did say that, and I felt very rude after.
And
it,
and he recoiled.
He was just kind of like, oh, okay. And when he left, he left his Starbucks, his empty cup on the table, which made me even more mad.
Oh, so for you to pick it up for him.
Yeah, or for the Starbucks staff to pick it up. I mean, come on, dude. That affirmed my choice. It's like, I felt rude, but no, not anymore.
I got so many questions, and I don't want to be rude with any of that. I have a lot of questions for Lydia about this.
Yeah.
But we got to get ready for answer the question, Jerry. So I'll have to think about the right way to phrase
these.
And
if any of you have a question, you can text that in to 710.
Questions on whatever you want. Sure. It can certainly be about Lydia's day yesterday or any other thing, food or whatever else it is you guys like to text in on. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. We'll answer the question, Jerk, next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Jerks, I can't drive this 1992 Chrysler Sebring convertible and drink coffee at the same time. Anybody want to go for a ride or maybe ride a little shotgun? It's a texter. Let's see. Let's set the stage. So Lydia, our own Lydia, was at a coffee shop yesterday, innocently drinking coffee and listening to the Cardinals game, her other favorite team, when a motorcycle guy in a green jacket tried to kind of condescendingly ask her about baseball, strike up conversation by not showing the proper amount of respect.
Here's the thing. I love people. I love talking to people. I love meeting new people. A lot of people saying I'm rude on the text line. Trust me, I love people. It was it would not have played out this way had he not approached me in a condescending
Very
way. Talk to me about, wow, a girl likes sports was the icebreaker of the conversation.
And there are other guys who have talked to you about sports where it's gone better?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like Cam Newton talked to that reporter during the season. That's how he talked to you.
Routes.
Yeah, see, by the way, Lydia, they're not calling you rude. They're saying things more like, jerks, is Salk's rudeness rubbing off on Lydia?
Oh, yeah.
Let's be clear. They don't think you're rude. They just think I'm making you rude.
Hashtag moving to anger. Is that what it was?
Trending toward anger. Hashtag trending toward
That's
anger.
Great.
Next question.
Lydia, how many episodes of Family Ties have you actually watched, over under one?
Have I actually watched? I mean, I've never claimed to watch any. No, I've watched zero.
You've never seen Family Ties?
No.
Oh, that's sad.
Howdy. Family Ties? Zero.
Couldn't tell you a single thing about it.
That hurts.
You couldn't tell me who was in Family Ties?
Who was the star of Family Ties? He became one of the mega stars, mega actors.
Of the 1980s.
Was that the Michael J. Fox one?
Yes. Thank you. Goodness gracious.
Meredith Baxter. Plus Skippy.
Such a dork.
Huge dork. That was his job.
I know. He did it well.
Yeah.
And Nick. Next question.
Mallory, Jennifer, and Tina Yothers
and
playing
there's
Jennifer.
There's Nick.
Great show.
Hey. Hey.
Jerks, is anyone at 710 actually own a motorcycle? Yeah, a few. So Bob owns a motorcycle.
And he wears a green jacket with it.
He's been riding it a lot recently in the summer, although he gets intimidated to ride it on the highway.
Yep.
Especially over the bridges. Bob gets super scared. Mike Lewis from Cairo FM, he's a big motorcycle guy.
Yes, he is.
Brian Bucklew is the APD over there. He rides a motorcycle.
Does he really?
Yeah, there's
what,
a bunch
Bucklew
of...
does?
Really? Yeah, he's a motorcycle guy.
Serious?
Oh, wow, I didn't see that.
No.
Yeah. He's not a motorcycle guy, but he rides a motorcycle.
Oh, but he is. Don't you think he's sort of a small motorcycle guy?
Now that you said it, I
not
can
like
absolutely see
not like a big
it.
Harley
Wait,
or anything.
He's like marathon guy and motorcycle guy?
Yes, you absolutely.
See now... Huh.
Yep. Yep.
I could
can
see
you
it.
Be obviously both?
I think
yes.
so. I think you can.
Don't he's go got... putting people in boxes, Kyle. That's rude.
Seriously.
It's by no means like it's a very classic looking motorcycle, right? He's got to have
It's like a 1960s BMW.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I don't know if that's what it is, but that's what it should be. Sorry, my
bad.
I misrepresented.
Doesn't Primor have a bike?
Yeah. I think he does actually for when he goes to his cabin. Jerks, and specifically Lydia, what is your vet coffee of choice at this coffee shop?
I'm just a black coffee person. I worked at I was a barista for 3 years, so I've tried several, but I'm just always come back to the simple.
Another, just more of a comment, just saying that Seattle freeze is strong. Is this the Seattle freeze?
No, again, see, I feel like I'm being misportrayed. I'm not. I'm a very friendly person. Under any normal circumstances, if you wanted to come up and talk to me, I would love to talk to you.
Yes.
Just maybe don't lead off with. A girl likes sports.
Right.
Let me sit next to you and let's...
But do you think you are intimidating to a guy trying to come up to you in a coffee shop? I mean, it's one thing online or texting and all the things people do these days. But do you think you are intimidating for somebody to come up to... And I'm just asking honestly, in a coffee shop in that situation? Or is
I
that just
not
a time to talk to you?
No, I wouldn't think so.
I hope not.
Wasn't intimidating enough that he came up to her.
Right. The bravado is part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
That's a hard mix, though, because if you've got enough guts to come over and talk to somebody in person, which is not easy to do.
Would you?
I mean, I'm
if
not
you're a single
great
dude,
at that.
Like starting all over, do you think you'd be just a talker?
I think it'd be hard for me. I would start off with a snide comment about something else going on.
You would be a dating site
I'm
guy.
Usually more of, I think my way would be more of, oh my God, you see these other freaks over here and try to
totally
like be conspirational about it.
For sure.
I don't think I could do with Lydia like that. That wouldn't work for me.
Yep.
You?
Oh, the right two.
Yeah, you'd have no problem.
No problem.
It's really, really hard to go up and talk to people when you're 6'5", good looking, and a former NFL quarterback. Life's hard for you, trust me. Challenging. Happy anniversary, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
Molly, I'm sure you soon remembered by the time you got home.
Molly said you certainly didn't bring that up on the air yesterday. I said, of course not. Why would I do that?
Never. I brought it up in the air, not her, not you.
How about a birthday wish going on?
Cecily's birthday today, big four. Big four for
Cecily. Happy birthday, Seth.
So excited for us. Awesome. Yes.
Next question.
She was up this morning.
Her and Steve Curran. Happy birthdays.
Makes sense.
Share them, two geniuses.
Sure. Jerks, Jell-O, or pudding? Now, I assume
pudding. All day.
Pudding for the win. Easy, especially banana cream.
I'm not a big fan of Jell-O.
No, it's gross.
Yeah.
But I love banana cream pudding.
Do you?
One of my favorite things. You make a banana cream pudding pie. Oof.
And I just don't think Jell-O could ever separate itself from hospitals.
Agreed. Like
you just can't. You're tied forever.
It's true.
Yeah.
I love this question. I think I could spend a while on this.
Oh, really?
Jerks, what is the best food to have with an ice cold beer? Is it pizza, wings, or tacos? Which of those three foods goes best with beer?
Now, is it somewhat seasonal as well? Is an ice cold beer best to you in this season, sunshine, or can you enjoy an ice cold beer in the winter?
Enjoy it any time. Obviously, it depends on the type of beer. I've been thinking about this one, though, for the last 5 minutes, and here's my answer.
Okay.
I'm going to go with tacos, and here's why.
Really?
I think that pizza actually goes best with root beer. As much as I like beer with pizza, there is nothing that goes better with pizza than an ice-cold root beer with a ton of ice in the glass.
Interesting.
Wings, as much as I love, one of my favorite foods, too spicy, and you end up losing some of the flavor of the beer.
Yeah, I don't... And wings is definitely out.
And that would leave me with tacos when you can go with, like, a Mexican beer.
Yeah.
And so I will say tacos is the answer.
Yeah, that's a solid call.
You like that? Reasoning?
Yeah, that's pretty good reasoning.
Which is better?
You've been a good reasoner.
Thanks. We're going to do which is better tomorrow.
You've been a winning reasoner.
Well, normally I wouldn't agree with you.
Yep. All right. But maybe this time?
But again, you've made excellent points.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. It's especially in the tacos.
This is one of your stronger days in
a while,
Salk. I don't know what the routine was or what you did or anything. But
We'll go read it then if you can. 710sports.com. My thoughts on the potential extending of Jerry DePoto's contract. We'll talk a little bit more about the Scott Service element of that tomorrow. We'll have which is better. We'll get ready for another OTA. Should be a fun day tomorrow. We'll see you at 7 o'clock.
Mm.
Until then, hey.
Marn.
See you, everybody.
Seattle is alive for the Mariners.
Get to the chopper!